If that even makes sense. Some of you guys have been distracted by this cross up here this morning, I'm sure. And I want you to know both why it's here and what it represents. Why would they put a dangerous object up here for my children to die? Well, I'll tell you why. each one of these light bulbs on the outside of this cross is an illustration created by one of our campers. Over the theme last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And we shifted across the week into looking at how Jesus has called us to be the light of the world. So because of who Jesus is, how he lived on earth, and what he chose to do for us, when we confess Christ Jesus as Lord, we have that light and we reflect that light into the world. And so each one of these light bulbs is different, and it's a reflection of who our children are and the light of Jesus Christ within them. Okay, so when you see this cross, I want to invite you to invite to come up here with any of your children or a young person that you know that came to camp, and let them show you which one of those bulbs that they did. Also, it's covered in many different types of bulbs, and so we used a different type of light source each day to illustrate the different types of personalities that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. So some of us are spotlights. In other words, we have a unique ability to point out sin. We have the unique ability to shine light into sin, both in our lives and other people's lives. And we don't do that as a harassment. We do that from love, and it brings about a change in the people around us. Some of us were candles. In other words, we have an ability to invite people in. You all know somebody in your life who you don't know why you talk to them about everything, but you just do. You met them one day, and then 3 hours later, you were still with them, and they knew the entirety of your life story, and you walk away wondering how in the world that happened, because you don't talk to anybody. That's a candle Christian. It's not somebody who refuses to shine bright for the Lord or refuses to point out sin. It's a person who invites you to point out your own and to come into the arms of Jesus and be changed. And so we took the week talking about how we are multifaceted, how we are different in the way that we express our Christianity, but we all express the same light. All right, so when you see that cross, that's what that cross represents. So I hope that you can enjoy that. We'll have that up here this week, and then I think we'll be putting it somewhere else. This is also a testament to the hard work and the generosity of you guys as a church, because many of these lights were donated by you, and this whole construction was put together by you, and it represents long hours and lots of thought, and it served as an amazing illustration for us this week. So I'm going to give you a hand, okay? You don't have to give each other a hand, but I'm going to give you a hand. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. If you were staff at camp last week and you're here today, would you please stand up? All right, these are the men and women who worked 14 to 18-hour days, making sure kids were not only safe, but they were served. They took time off from their work week so that they could spend time with our children. They sat side by side with them as those children sometimes cried their eyes out. They laughed with them. They ran and played with them. They didn't get enough sleep, and the sleep they did get was on paper-thin mattresses. All right, and so I do want to ask you to give them a hand. Thank you, guys. On another good note, we had 4 baptisms over the week. Antoine Moore, are you here today? Is Antoine here? Antoine's too tired from camp. Antoine Moore gave his life to Christ. William Adair, who I'm hoping we'll see at our church sometime soon, chose to give his life to Christ. So we'll get to see them Cadence Suddeth, where are you at? I know you're here. Cadence was recognized as a spiritual leader at camp. She was elected Miss SLCC. I guess you're not married yet. Miss SLCC for the way that she interacted with other people and her volunteerism and the way that she reflected the light of Jesus Christ. So we'll give you a hand. And Sarah McCafferty, is she here, Brittany? Sarah's not here. We'll see her sometime soon. She was elected as a counselor of the week for the way that she led and spoke into the lives of our children. So we are grateful. Those of us who were at camp, we thank you for your prayers. I started with us together last week, and I told you that we'd coveted your prayers all week long. I don't know what you did, but you gave us the greatest weather that we've ever had at camp. Low 80s, even 70s some days. I'm convinced that these prayers allowed us to be more open than we've ever been at camp. And, man, God showed up mightily. Showed up is probably the wrong word because he always showed up. He always shows up. He was revealed mightily. And God is faithful as he always has been. And we have come home with memories and stories to tell that will fuel us for weeks and months and years to come. So today we're going to take a little bit about what we talked about at camp. And we're going to address an undercurrent that existed at camp over the course of this week. So when we sat down, we planned to talk about Jesus as the light of the world and how we as followers of Jesus are called to reflect Jesus and also be the light of the world in the way that we live our lives. But as young people began to come forward and talk and share their stories, there was one theme that just permeated our camp. And that theme was, I have been wounded by my father. Again and again and again, we heard stories from young people who have not yet been able to forgive their dads, who have been deeply changed and affected by some of the choices that their fathers have made. And so today, as we get into that, I want us to do one little practice, because I want us to take this seriously. But I don't want anyone to walk out of here in shame, because you don't have to, okay? So if you are a sinner, raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. If you didn't raise your hand, you just sinned, so welcome to the club, you're a sinner. So we all start this walk together on the same playing field. Okay, so what we're going to talk about is not meant to heap abuse on anybody or shame on anybody. If there is guilt felt, that guilt is meant to be a spur and not a chain. All right? God does not want you to experience guilt so you will think less of yourself and do less in his name for his kingdom. God wants you to experience guilt so that guilt can do its work and be healing. It can be healing, not halting. Does that make sense? Anytime we feel guilty for an action, that's supposed to be motivation for us to expose that action to the light of Christ and find forgiveness and have change enacted in our life. So we go to Genesis chapter 1. We go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. From the very beginning of time, lightness and darkness have been separated. And it's a theme that we see across Scripture. When we're living in the light, we're separated from darkness. And when we're living in darkness, we're separated from light. And so when Adam and Eve commit their first sin and are separated from God, they enter into darkness. And the thing that we need to remember together about darkness is that darkness can never overcome light, and light will always overcome darkness. You can't turn up the dark, can you? Like, there's no switch that you can buy that will let you amplify the darkness. But you can turn up the light, can't you? You can put another light bulb in the room. You can increase the wattage, and the light will always eradicate the darkness, won't it? It always will. When you bring into your life the light of Christ, when you are exposed to the light of God, that light will eradicate darkness. In just a little bit, we're going to have a time of prayer for those who will ask for prayer, if you do. And what I want to share with you before we have that moment is that if you are to expose your life to the light, you will be changed. And I want us to be clear on what it means to expose our lives to the light. Exposing your life to the light is not walking down and asking for prayer because you're a sinful person. That's not exposing yourself to the light. We've all exposed ourselves as sinful people, haven't we? Exposing yourself to the light is either coming down here and saying, these are the things that I have done, and these are the changes I know I need to make, and I want to be transparent with you today. Or coming forward and saying, hey, I'd like the body to pray for me, and there are some people that I'm going to go to personally, and I'm going to make myself known. John tells us in 1 John that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we read walking in the light a lot of times as if it means if we stop doing evil, if we do everything right, then we will have forgiveness. Walking in the light is walking exposed. You remember how Adam and Eve started in the garden? They started naked, didn't they? They started exposed, didn't they? In their first action, their very first action upon committing sin was to become hidden and covered, wasn't it? It was to cover themselves and hide themselves. And so it is courageous to ask for prayer, and it is healing to expose our sin. And we'll get into some of God's word behind that in just a minute, but I wanted us to be clear because I didn't want somebody to feel like they had done it. They had taken care of business if they came and just asked for some people to pray for them over an unexposed sin. If we are to be followers of Jesus, we are going to be followers of Jesus exposed. And isn't it true that if we walked exposed, we would probably do less against God? If we had a little guy carrying a camera around behind us everywhere we went, and people knew exactly how we were living our lives, how we talked to our wives, how we talked to our children, how we talk to our coworkers, how we talk to fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. If we knew there was going to be a replay that night at 7 p.m., we would live differently, wouldn't we? We absolutely would. Our speech would change. Our mannerisms would change. Our diets would probably change, wouldn't it? The way we drove would change. Everything about us would change if we were completely exposed to the light. So we start with Genesis 1 and find out in verse 4 that God has separated the darkness from the light. And in the book of John chapter 1, John as the author. Remember, when we talked before about the book of John, we said that John's objective is to proclaim Jesus as God. All right? But the way John starts his book is he starts it with a reflection of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And guess what? The darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was known, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus entered this world as the light of the world. There is no light in this world that is not of Jesus Christ. If there is any light within us, that light is not our own light. That light is the light of Jesus Christ. And it's the overwhelming light that within us that overcomes the darkness that also exists within us. Because as Jesus was completely light, I think that we have to admit that there are places in our life that are better lit than other places in our life. There are places in our life that we have not invited the light of Jesus Christ to overcome. Right? We harbor resentments. We have tendencies to be passive aggressive. We have trouble being honest. We overcompensate and try to steal the spotlight for ourselves. We're violent. We turn to things other than God for comfort. Sometimes we drink for comfort. Sometimes we do other things for comfort. Sometimes we hurt other people for comfort. There are areas of our lives that are dark that we need Jesus to enter into and bring about change. So I say to you today that I want to give you another perspective towards life. Right, and fathers, as you sit and you listen and you mull some of this over, I want you to think about this in your parenting style. You're not making today's decisions today. You're making tomorrow's decisions today. We fool ourselves when we think that any of our decisions are isolated choices. We kid ourselves when we think that doing this just this one time doesn't affect every other aspect of our lives and even those who are in our lives. You are choosing today what your tomorrow will be like. You're choosing today what tomorrow will be like by the way that you talk to your children. If our main goal as followers of Jesus Christ is that our sons and daughters enter into eternity with God, If that's our main goal, then the way that we talk to our children today carries more weight than we've ever believed it has. If that is our main goal, then we must realize that every word that we string together into a sentence has an impact on their tomorrow. And what we play on our radios, and however we choose to behave around them, it impacts our tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is, it impacts their tomorrow. I think about secondhand smoke when I think about this. I think about secondhand smoke when I think about this because I'm not trying to harp on you if you're choosing that habit. You've read the warning labels on the cartons. You're making your choice. You know that you're choosing cancer? You know that every road you're on, it leads you to where it's taking you, not where you intend it to go? So you know what you're choosing by that. You know you're choosing to shorten your life and not be able to spend the time with your grandkids that you wanted to spend. You know you're making that choice. And that's your choice to make. But you're also making choices for your children about what you're exposing them to. So you're not only making your choices for tomorrow today, you're making your children's choices for tomorrow today. What about secondhand scripture? Could we get a little secondhand scripture in our families? Could we devote ourselves to that? Imagine one day you wake up in the morning and your son just quotes a scripture to you. And you're like, where did that come from? And he says, well, I heard it from you. You didn't know I was listening, but I heard it from you. What if they actually caught the scripture from you? You have that opportunity today to impact tomorrow. What about secondhand profanity? I know some of you have heard that. I know some of you have had the discussion with your children. Where did you learn that word? And most of them are too scared to say from you. So they say, I got it from here. I got it from there. What about secondhand violence? What about secondhand violence? You're creating abusive husbands with the way that you treat your sons, and you're creating abusive wives with the way that you treat your daughters. Or you're creating timid husbands and timid wives who will be afraid to stand up for their Lord by the way that you treat your daughters and your sons. You see, this role of fatherhood that God has given us is an incredible blessing. And it comes with incredible responsibility. Because your choices, fathers, become our choices. Your choices as fathers become our choices as sons and daughters. And they impact who we are and how we will act. Let's illustrate this in the stories of David and of Solomon. In 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 13, you see Nathan come to David, and he tells Nathan kind of a parable, right? He talks about a man who had a daughter sheep, and that daughter sheep slept with him nightly. He loved and he cherished the sheep, and he says, a wealthy man who had plenty of sheep came and took that daughter sheep and killed it and served it up. And David becomes angry at the story, and rightly so. Right? Rightly so. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. In verse 9, he says, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You took him with the sword of the Ammonites, and now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I'll take your wives and give them to the one who's close to you. And he'll sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I'll do this thing in broad daylight before Israel. And David says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan says, the Lord's taken away your sin. You're not going to die. So when faced with the truth, David gets on his knees. When it has been said to him exactly as it has happened, David gets on his knees. How many of us would have just gotten angrier? You tricked me. You tricked me. Get out of here. How many of us, when confronted with the way that we treat our children, get upset at the confrontation instead of upset at the very truth that exists? How many of our children have heard us say hateful, hurtful things to our wives and have spent the night in their room crying over it? And if they would have confronted us over it, we would have beat them. And if that's the way it is in your home, I hope that confronts you. I hope that confronts you because you're making tomorrow's decisions today with your family. And it's not okay. It is not okay. Your sons and daughters made commitments at camp that that cycle will stop with them. That it will stop with them, whether or not it stops with you. And we've prayed over that, and we will continue to pray over that. But as we sit and we think about our fatherhood, if there is need for conviction, be convicted. And if there is need for repentance, repent. Because God honors repentance. Or we can be like Solomon, the wisest person on this earth. King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely you will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. Don't you know that the Lord gave Solomon a warning before Solomon even chose what he chose? God, who knows all, said, Solomon, this is going to be your temptation, but do not do this, because if you do, you will turn from me. I won't leave you. You will leave me with your behavior. And Solomon clung to these in love. 700 who were princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon goes off and he builds temples to other gods and sacrifices to other gods. And the punishment for that, because Solomon does not repent, is a divided kingdom. Are you living in a divided kingdom right now? If your home is your castle, is it divided? Solomon's is. And all of Israel suffers for it. What we've got to realize as we prepare to stand up and sing is that our sin is never committed in isolation. Our sin is nuclear. There is always secondhand sin from the way that we choose to live our lives. There is no bad thing. There is no ungodly thing that you can do that won't affect somebody else. Because as you are affected and you are changed, everybody around you changes. There's a term in psychology called systems theory. And systems theory works like this. If you have a person in your family who's unmanageable, stop focusing all your attention on them and focus your attention on yourself. Because as you change yourself, the environment changes everything around it. If you want other people to change, you focus on you, not on them. When I was 13, I developed Crohn's disease. It's a gastrointestinal issue. That's as far as I'll go with that. I believed in my heart that I would be dead before I turned 30. When I was 13, I had decided that I had cancer and that I would die before I hit 30 years old. and I never told my parents about it. And I wouldn't go to the doctor. Men, can we agree on this? There are two reasons we don't go to the doctor. Number one, because we're cheap. And number two, because we might have it. Because we might actually be sick. Two reasons we don't go to the doctor. We don't want to pay the price. And we don't want to find out that it's true. The two reasons. So Sarah and I got married, and she made me go to the doctor. And I found out I had Crohn's disease. And it wasn't cancer. Yay, Crohn's disease, right? Yay. The news wasn't as bad as I thought. And right now, what I want to tell you is the news isn't as bad as you've thought. And someday it will be if you don't make a change. For each of us, there is a point of no return. There is a point when it's too late. You've driven too fast around the curve and you're going to wreck. For each of us, there's a point of no return and you are not there yet. And if you do not repent and bring your sinful lifestyle and your choices to the light, there will be a time when it is too late. And you will not come back from that. Because that is the way life works. John chapter 3, verse 16, you know this. But I want to read this verse and beyond as we get ready to close up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come out into the light, lest his works should be exposed. Whoever does what is true comes into the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now think about the woman trapped in adultery. As Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, she's drugged before religious leaders, and they're ready to kill her. But as her sin is exposed before Jesus, and she is on her knees, and she has nothing left to hide, Jesus looks at those men and says, your sin is hidden. Your sin is hidden, so go ahead and cast rocks if I'm not. And instead of dropping to their knees, they leave. And she stays on her knees as her sin is brought to light, and she is healed. So I invite you to confess and heal not only yourself, but those you have affected with your sin. And I don't mean just say, I'm not a good person. We know that. Maybe you make a small confession here, and you sit down with your family tonight, and it's real. Maybe you need to write down 5, 10, 15, 20 sheets and explain to your children that what you have done and what you have said and the way that you've behaved and the habits that you've developed, you do not want for their future. And invite them to participate in the change in your life. And if you have been affected by sin in this way, I invite you to spend some time working on forgiveness. Because we will be forgiven as we have forgiven. I'm not saying you invite them back into your house for dinner on the weekends every night. I'm saying you stop wanting evil for them in their life. Forgiveness is not making the relationship exactly what it was before. Because exactly what it was before led to what it became. We protect others when we treat them differently, even as we protect ourselves. But forgiveness, true forgiveness, is the absence of malice and the hope of heaven for them. And it can begin with prayer. I don't expect any of you to be there in an instant. It takes work. So let's stand up. We'll have a prayer, and then we'll sing. And if you need to bring something to light on this Father's Day before your Father, who is faithful to forgive you, we'll invite you to do so. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you've chosen us to be your children. Lord God, we admit that there are things in our lives that we have kept hidden, and it's in our nature to do so. And God, we invite you to search our hearts. Father, we ask that you would expose our sin and help us to become who you've created us to be. Lord, we recognize that the sins that we commit are not only our own, but they affect everyone around us. Lord, we pray that you would save our children from secondhand sin, even as you're saving us from our willful sin. Help us walk in the light. And please separate us from that darkness so that we can be healed and our children's future can be bright. We ask these things through the power of your Son. And in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.